بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أيها الإخوة الأعزاء، نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ محمد موسى نصر، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجازيه خير الجزاء على سعي هذا من الأردن إلى هنا إلى نيويورك. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل هذا العمل في ميزان حسناته يوم القيامة. كان مقررا أن يلقي فضيلة الشيخ محاضرة حول السيرة النبوية، لكن لظروف السفر فالشيخ لم يصل، أو وصل يعني من مدة قريبة جدا، وصل أظن الساعة السادسة، وكانت مدة الرحلة من هناك من الأردن إلى هنا حوالي 15 ساعة في الطائرة، فالشيخ متعب جدا. لذلك إن شاء الله سنؤجل هذه المحاضرة إلى غد السبت، لكن سيتفضل فضيلة الشيخ بكلمة قصيرة، موعظة ونصيحة لكل الإخوة الذين حضروا هذا اللقاء. وإن شاء الله سأخونا محمد ياسين سيترجم ما قلته، وكذلك سيعلن عن المحاضرات والأنشطة التي ستكون إن شاء الله خلال هذا الأسبوع.
After saying all praises to Allah alone and giving thanks to Him and bearing witness that there is no one worthy of worship except for Allah, the One without partner, and that Muhammad is a slave and servant and messenger, and we send the best of peace and blessings upon him, we want to welcome you all to the gathering that we have had with the opportunity and privilege to sit with our Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasser, Hafidullah, who has made the extreme journey from Jordan, which took over 15 hours by plane. And we just want to announce that he will give a short talk on advice and some admonishment and warnings for the brothers in a shortened form, which is a little bit changed from the original program, which is going to be on the life and biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his lessons. And we shall, inshallah, tomorrow begin our first talk, which is going to be on the disease of the Ummah and its cure. And on Sunday, inshallah, we will have the series of talks dealing with the Prophet's biography from Sunday to Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala. And all of these lectures and talks will be available on tape during the week, inshallah, for purchase in our bookstore. So those who are missing any part of it or would like to hear it again, of course, those things will be available. So in deference to the Sheikh and his extreme journey, and he only arrived within about 90 minutes ago, therefore he's not in any position to give us any lengthy talk, so we hopefully will get the benefit of that. He is here, safe and sound, and be able to take the most benefit of the short talk he's going to give on some simple matters that are very extremely important to us and that we can get some warnings and advice from, inshallah.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shurur anfusina wa sayyati a'malina, man yahdihi allahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن من أعظم ما يشعر به الإنسان من سعادة وسرور أن وفقنا الله عز وجل للوصول إلى إخواننا في هذه الديار النائية حبا في الله وزيارة في الله. ولا يخفى عليكم أيها الإخوة ما للأخوة في الله من فضل وثواب عند الله عز وجل، ذلك أن الأخوة في الله والمحبة في الله من أوثق عرى الإيمان، أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. ولذلك ما أتينا إلى هذه البلاد لا لدنيا نصيبها ولا لامرأة نتزوجها، وإنما أتينا حبا في الله، حبا لكم في الله ولزيارتكم. والمتزاورون والمتحابون في الله على منابر من نور يوم القيامة يغبطهم الأنبياء والشهداء. إن الذي حملنا على المجيء إليكم مع بعد الشقة حيث قطعنا البحار والمحيطات إنما هو الزيارة في الله، وإن من أسباب محبة الله للعبد حبه لإخوانه، من أسباب محبة الله للعبد حبه لإخوانه في الله، أن يحب المرء لا يحب إلا لله. ففي الحديث أن رجلا زار أخا له في الله فأرصد الله على مدرجته ملكا فسلم عليه فرد عليه السلام، قال إلى أين تعمد يا أخي؟ قال أزور أخا لي في الله. قال هل لك من نعمة تربها عليه؟ يعني هل أزد إليك معروفا وأنت تريد أن ترد عليه هذا المعروف، أو لك عنده حاجة؟ قال لا، إنما أحبه في الله. قال فإني رسول الله إليك، إن الله يقرئك السلام ويقول لك بأنه قد أحبك كما أحببته فيه. ولذلك الله عز وجل يقول يوم القيامة أين المتحابين فيه؟ أين المتزاورين فيه؟ أين المتباذلين فيه؟ اليوم أظلهم في ظلي يوم لا ظل إلا ظلي. وأنتم أيها الإخوة في هذه الديار في هذه الأرض أحوج ما تكونون إلى الألفة، إلى المحبة، إلى الأخوة، أخوة الدين والإيمان، إلى التعاون على البر والتقوى، بهذا مع الاعتصام بكلمة التوحيد. فتوحيد الله قبل توحيد الكلمة، وتوحيد الله السبيل إلى توحيد كلمة المسلمين. فاجتماعكم في بيت من بيوت الله تتلون كتاب الله وتتدارسونه بينكم هذا مدعاة لأن يباهي الله بكم الملائكة، وأن يغفر الله عز وجل لكم، وأن تحفكم الملائكة بأجنحتها، وتتنزل عليكم السكينة، وتغشاكم الرحمة، ويذكركم الله في من عنده، كما صح بذلك الحديث.
الحمد لله. Beginning, of course, with the khutbah al-hajj, as well known to you, the meanings and the translations of which should be with you, inshallah. And after that, he mentioned clearly, without doubt, that among the human emotions, the most strongest and most heartfelt is that which is happiness and joy. And among these emotions that the human being can possess is one of the most strongest of the feelings they can have, among the emotions. And it's without doubt that he has arrived in this place, among the houses and homes of you, and mashallah, the places where you reside, particularly in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this country very far from what he has traveled. He has come here solely without doubt with love for you, as brothers in Islam, as people who are upon the deen of Islam, and no doubt he has traveled here for this purpose, for the sake of Allah alone, and he has not come here to marry any woman, he has not come here to seek any worldly gain, and verily he has come here for the sake, in his intention, for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's with this that he is very happy to be here, and making sure that we do know among the things that the Muslims possess in their hearts is this happiness, and is something that can be shared through brotherhood and love for each other in our meetings and gatherings. And there's no doubt in this, in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mentioned, that a person was been asked on the Day of Judgment of who we frequented, a person for the sake of Allah alone, and the angel will come down on a staircase, on a ladder, and bring him up and ask him, have you visited this for man for any purpose, for any gain, anything that you may have getting benefit from? And the man said, no, I only did this for the walaikum salam. I only did this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And verily the angel welcomed him up into to Jannah and admitted him, for verily he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the salam of your salam that you have given to others, and the love that he has for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down that love, the same love you had for that person. Indeed, this is a great joy and a great blessing for those who know the true spirit of happiness and joy in meeting a brother in Islam. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about those who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is a cause for the happiness for Allah and His pleasure in this. So there is a great blessing in this type of meeting where there is no other intention for the sake of meeting each other, and this is why he is here. In another narration, he revealed about the way of people visiting houses of Allah, the masajid, where they come here for the purpose of learning about their deen of Islam, and there's no better and no more important principle than which friendship or any emotion should be attached to, and that is based on the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Him in His worship. And the places that in which this is taught and learned and practiced is the masajids. So one frequents the houses of Allah solely for His sake, and we gather in our love for each other, then verily we be among those who Allah will send His shade, that is the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, on that day when there be no shade but His. And then this is again another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. In addition to that, the gatherings themselves possess their merit, where the angels come down and send their salam of peace from Allah, and the tranquility, the sakina, descends upon them, and the angels' wings are encompassed on every side of the gathering, and verily Allah will mention them, that is, Allah will mention the people who are in His gatherings in His presence, in His audience. So therefore, it's a great blessing for us to come together in these circumstances and let you know that He has come here for strictly this purpose, and He's very joyed to have this.
وكل علاقة بين اثنين لا تكون لله وفي الله فهي مقطوعة لا بركة فيها ولا خير وتكون وبالا على صاحبها يوم القيامة فالعلاقة التي تكون في الله هي الباقية تنفع صاحبها في الدنيا وتنفعه عند لقاء ربه في الآخر قال الله تعالى الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله وذكر من هؤلاء السبعة ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمع عليه وتفرق عليه ولذلك من لوازم الأخوة في الله ومن علامة الأخوة في الله أن يكون هذا الأخ يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه وأن يكون هذا الأخ يغبط أخاه ولا يحسنه لا يكون بين الإخوة المتحابين في الله حسد ولا حقد ولا يكون بينهم أثرة كل واحد يؤثر نفسه ويحب نفسه وإنما ينزل أخاه منزلة نفسه إن لم يؤثر أخاه بالخير الذي يحبه لنفسه فلا أقل من أن ينزل أخاه منزلة نفسه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير وقال الله تعالى ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة إن مما وثق الأخوة في الله بين الصحابة ما وجد المهاجرون من إخوانهم الأنصار من إيثار وإكرام وتفاني في الخدمة حتى أن أحدهم كان خير أخاه المهاجر أن يختار ما شاء من نسائه يطلقها فتعتد فيتزوجها المهاجر هذا المجتمع الذي ضرب أروع الأمثلة في الإيثار والمحبة لا يمكن أن يحدث في أي بيئة وفي أي مجتمع إلا مجتمعا يشبه مجتمع الصحابة وهيهات هيهات ولذلك نحن نتشبه بالصحابة نحن نتشبه بأخلاق الصحابة نسألين الله عز وجل أن يحشرنا معهم لأن المرء يحشر المرء مع من أحب والرجل يلحق بالقوم ولما يعمل بأعمالهم إذا كان محبا لهم متبعا لهم مقتفيا لآثارهم ولذلك الله عز وجل من رحمته وحكمته أنه يلحق المتأخرين بالسابقين إذا كانوا متشبهين بهم في أخلاقهم في عقيدتهم في علمهم وعملهم في سلوكهم ويجمعهم جميعا لأن الله عز وجل يعني يجمع المتحابين فيه تحت ويظلهم تحت ظل عرشه يوم لا ظل إلا ظله ولذلك أيها الإخوة لا أريد أن أطيل عليكم والمقام يقتضي الاختصار وقد بين إخواننا هذه الأسباب وسيكون لقاؤنا إن شاء الله في الغد حافلا بإذن الله تعالى ونسعد بكم ونفرح بلقائكم وصدقوني أن لقائي بكم قد أنساني يعني تعب السفر والإجهاد البدني والنفسي، وذلك أنني أشعر بسعادة غامرة بهذا اللقاء الطيب وباجتماعي بإخواني في الله محبة في الله على منهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا والله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
جزاكم الله خيرا. Our Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasser, Hafizullah, has concluded his short statement tonight by giving us some incredible words in terms of making the best of the shortest time that we have, or the longest time that we have to spend together. And one of the ones he started off by saying in the second part of his talk is they're dealing with the relationship human beings, Muslims, that is, a person has with another. And in one case, there's only going to be two types of results. One, that which will benefit you in the hereafter, or that which will cause some confrontation between each other on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, all our dealings with each other should be based on this understanding that we're going to have to face our actions on the Day of Judgment, not only to Allah, but with each other. So either we're going to have a good relationship, which we have love for each other for the sake of Allah alone, which will benefit us both in this life and the hereafter, or we're going to cause some kind of confrontation or differences that will not only not suffice us in this world, but certainly will cause a debt to be paid on the Day of Judgment. So for this reason, it is no more important that we know that the ones who seek each other out and have this relationship of love and brotherhood solely for the sake of Allah are those who are the ones who will gain both in this life and the hereafter. As mentioned in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Verily among those who will be shielded by the throne of Allah, by the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment, when there is no other shade except for His," he mentioned seven, "and among them are those two Muslims who come to meet each other for the sake of Allah, and when they part, they do it for the sake of Allah and the love of them each other for the sake of Allah." And this is the quality and the characteristics of those who are best known and best guaranteed the sanctity of that relationship in this life as well as the hereafter, because that shade is on that Day of Judgment when no longer any relationships have any meaning anymore, but the results and the rewards are there. Therefore, this is the best type of relationship we have. For verily, the Quran and the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the translation of the meanings warn us about those on the Day of Judgment where there will be those who become enemies to each other on the Day of Judgment. So in warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already about those who may have accompanied each other in this life will be enemies on the Day of Judgment because of that lack of relationship based on the fundamental principle of Tawheed and love for the sake of Allah alone. And that will cause friction, maybe not so much in this life, but again, Allah has told us in the Quran, and the translation means that they will become enemies, adu, to each other. So to avoid that, we do this for the sake of Allah and for the love of Allah, and for we love each other for the sake of Allah alone. And this is the true quality of what brotherhood in Islam stands for. So in this aspect, we know that the meetings and gatherings and goings and comings of brothers, this is the way we should know and how to deal with each other. It is on this aspect that verily we should imitate the way of the Sahaba. This basic principle of love is not just an emotional love. It's based on the characteristics of the ones who were most perfectly suited to love each other, and that was the Sahaba, both Muhajirin and the Ansar. They had the qualities. So any gathering that comes together should have similar qualities. When people come together for the sake of Allah, they have similar qualities of each other. There is no satisfaction in sitting with people that are not like you, both in belief, both in character, in conduct, in appearance, etc. So all the characters and qualities that match are the ones that make people more close together, both from the physical aspects, the moral aspects, the conduct and character aspects, and they mesh together. And if it's based on the principle of Tawheed, it becomes unified in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that love is for His sake and alone. And the Sahaba are no better example for this. So if we wish to have this type of love, then we should be like the Sahaba. And he gave some examples. For example, the Muhajirin and the Ansar were unknown to each other. They came from different tribes. They were not known. They're from different geographical locations, not related to each other by blood in many cases. And when they came to Medina, the Ansar, the people who were residents of Medina, welcomed them into their homes, even their own women. Taking here, have a choice of one of the women that I married, they would divorce one of them for the sake of giving one of their women to the people who were Muhajirin. And this is no greater love than this, when you give something, a physical thing, a thing that has emotional ties, not just a piece of property, but emotional thing that they give, opening their hearts and love for each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And we saw this in the quality of the first generation of Islam, the Sahaba. So therefore, for one to achieve the true sanctity of brotherhood in Islam and love for the sake of Allah and ourselves alone without any athar. That means we don't have any feelings in our hearts, without any bad residue, you might say. Residue of something that we say, we don't feel completely in love with somebody, we have some bad feelings that somebody gets something more than us. And he mentions the words of the Prophet ﷺ in translation of meanings. You do not believe, you do not have iman until you love for your brother that which you love for yourself, of which is khayr, of that which is good. So that whatever is good that you like for yourself, you wish it for your brother. That whatever position that you find a brother in, whether it be greater than you or lesser than you, if you wish they have that position that you like, it will feel more better for them that they had that position. That's the true quality and characteristic of the true believers, which were the Sahaba, and those who nowadays who we consider ourselves Muslims, and the relationship we have with each other should be in this model, for there is no greater model than these. So therefore, loving each other is part of iman. And the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the muhabbeen, that means the ones who have love for each other, Allah calls out, where are the muhabbeen? Where are they? In another hadith he mentioned earlier, and again he repeated, that Allah calls out, who are the ones who love each other for the sake of Allah? Allah sends down His maghfirah, His forgiveness upon these people. So the mere act of loving each other not only entails reward in this life, in the hereafter, but it also is a way of reducing your sin. It's a way of forgiveness. So therefore, all these things are the characters of the best generation, and he's very proud and privileged and happy. And this is the happiness that he mentioned in the beginning, and love that he's found in this gathering of people who are authentically following the way of the Sunnah, which he has known of, and he's heard of, and he's come here, and he's privileged to be here, and he's very happy to be here. And he wants to apologize in a very humble way, that because of the journey and the taxing on his body and his tired of lethargy and fatigue, he cannot continue much more in tonight's short talk, but hopefully he gave you some points that we can reflect on to make all our other sittings more beneficial. And inshallah, tomorrow night, who, by Allah's permission, he will return here to suffice everyone, and above all Allah. أقول قول هذا وأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه.
Inshallah, Sheikh, tomorrow inshallah we'll give a lecture, and the reason being he could not talk about the Prophet's biography today. As he mentioned, he's very tired. He spent about 15 hours in the airplane, and he's supposed to arrive at 4 o'clock or 3:30, but the flight was delayed until 6 o'clock. He came 6 o'clock, and you know, he's a human being, he needs to rest. So inshallah, we're sorry for what happened today. Tomorrow inshallah he will give his first lecture, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will benefit from all the knowledge that we're going to hear, and we encourage all the brothers not to miss this opportunity with sitting with the people of knowledge. Wallahi brothers, believe me, one day you don't want to say to yourself, I wish that I heard one hadith from that sheikh, because this sheikh, he's sheikh now, and we don't know how he's going to be in the future. Probably one of this mashaykh that we bring in this masjid will be, of course inshallah, one of them at least will be a scholar inshallah in the future. And you don't want to miss that opportunity that you sit with that sheikh at that time. You don't want to say that to yourself. Look at Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah and Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah. Many people, they feel so sorry when they die because they didn't have chance and opportunity to sit with them. Who among us has the opportunity to sit with Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah? And he was among us. Few people who had the opportunity to see him and talk to him and get fatwa from him or something like that. But those people who did not see him, they feel so sorry for that. So alhamdulillah, the shaykh, they come to our masjid, and they're going to keep coming inshallah. We'll have programs every 2 or 3 months. So we don't want you to miss this sitting of knowledge. And also we want you to bring your family to know the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with this people of knowledge. Wallahi, this is big ni'mah, big blessing from Allah. Other masjids, they never had any chance to sit with the people of knowledge. I'm talking about the real people of knowledge, not anyone. You find some masjid there, they exist for 10 to 20 years, but they never do any effort to introduce the people of knowledge to people. We don't have any personal relation with all the mashaykh that we are inviting, but we know that this mashaykh, they are in the manhaj, they have a good understanding of this religion. We don't have any benefit from them, but we are bringing them to this masjid because we know that they are following the truth, and we want all the Muslim to know what they know. We want to have knowledge about our deen. We don't know many things in our religion. So brothers, this is a good opportunity to sit with them and to ask your questions. Inshallah, if you have any questions, you can call the masjid, or also you can call my house, inshallah. The sheikh, he will be in my house for all these days, about 6 days. He's going to be in my house, so if you have any question, any personal question you want to ask the sheikh, do not hesitate to call. And we don't want anyone to say that the imam of this masjid is preventing people from knowledge. You know, these accusations, we keep hearing them all the time from people. Alhamdulillah, the sheikh is here. If you are interested in anything to know about your deen, my house is open, the phone number is always on, so you can call and you can speak the sheikh directly if you want. Whatever you want, inshallah, we will help you to do what you want. So we are not here to prevent people from knowledge. We are here to bring people to give knowledge to people. So inshallah, if you are serious, do not hesitate to call or to come to this masjid. And the last thing I want to mention, do your best, brothers and sisters in Islam, to come to these classes and be patient, because you're going to hear Arabic first, then English. That's the only way we're going to learn from this mashayikh. So inshallah, have a lot of patience and don't miss one lecture of these lectures. Because last time we had Usama Al-Qusi, the last lecture, we did not see enough people in the masjid. I think 10 people was in the masjid. So we want you to have patience and also encourage your family, your friends, your relatives to come. This good should not only for yourself, it should be for everybody. Give a telephone call to your family, to your relatives, encourage them to come. Because this shuyukh, they are not with us all the time. They sit like 1 week or less than that and they go. So inshallah, have a lot of patience and come and bring your family. Inshallah, if you want to give salam to the sheikh, we're going to leave in about 10 minutes. If you have any question for him, the sheikh is here. And tomorrow the topic will be the Muslim Ummah, its disease and its cure. So this is the topic for tomorrow, inshallah. The Muslim Ummah, its disease and its cure. It's a very important topic and we want everybody to come, inshallah. And starting Sunday, the Sheikh will speak about the Prophet's biography and other topics that are important in our religion. And you know, the Sheikh Hafizahullah is a professor in the college, in the Islamic University in Jordan, and he's specializing in the sciences of the Quran al-Karim. And also he do the ruqya shar'iyya. He cure people according to the Quran and to the Sunnah. And inshallah, he's willing also to give us some knowledge about the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the jinn. Inshallah, he will talk about that in a single lecture. And we need to know a lot of things about this topic. So inshallah, he will speak about that too during the week. So do not miss this knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from me and you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow his mercy on all of us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يحذر الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. والصلاة الله والسلام عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى من اهتدى بسنته بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أقول لكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we all praise Allah in His name and give oneness to Him in the testament of the Shahada and the witness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our Prophet, and peace and blessings upon Him. We greet you all. Masha'Allah, Al-Quran wa Sunnah welcomes everyone, brothers and sisters, to settle down and prepare yourselves for a talk that will hopefully, inshallah, will give us some benefit from our great guest, an honored one. And the feeling is mutual, inshallah, that we are prized to have him here and give us some thoughts on today's lecture, which is called The Islam Ummah, The Nation of Islam, The Muslim Ummah, Its Disease, Its Sickness, and Its Cure. He will speak on this topic, inshallah, in Arabic, and there'll be a short delay for the English translation, so bear witness and be patient. This will continue for the rest of the set of lectures that he'll be given. There's a change on the schedule that has been handed out. Tomorrow's lecture will be the only lecture on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his biography, its importance, and the lessons from it. That will be the title of tomorrow's lecture. And we'll hand out and announce the future lectures on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. All of these lectures starting tomorrow will be held after Isha at 8 p.m. inshallah ta'ala. So please bear with us and hopefully join us for the entire week so that we have the benefit and the blessings of listening to the one of the premier of the students of knowledge and of the students of the shuyukh of the kabar ulama, Muhammad Musa Nasser Hafidullah. Today's lecture again is called The Islamic Ummah, Its Sickness and Its Cure. Alhamdulillah bil alameen.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. كما سمعتم من أخينا جزا الله خير عنوان هذه المحاضرة الأمة الإسلامية بين الداء والدواء. والناظر في حال الأمة الإسلامية يحتار في أدوائها وفي بلوائها وفي المصائب المتكاثرة التي تقع على رأسها حتى لا يكاد الحليم أن يكون حيرانا في إخراج الأمة الإسلامية من مصائبها ومشاكلها. ولكننا إذا أمعنا النظر نجد أن هذه الأدواء وهذه الأمراض إنما هي من أنفسنا، كما قال الله عز وجل قل هو من عند أنفسكم، قل هو من عند أنفسكم. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أخبر أن المسلم يشاكي الشوكة ويحرم الرزق بالذنب يصيبه. الله عز وجل له سنن في خلقه لا تتغير ولا تتبدل ولا يحابي ربنا عز وجل أحدا، هذه السنن ماضية منذ قديم الزمان. المعاصي والذنوب سبب لهلاك الأمم والشعوب. ما الذي أخرج أبوينا من الجنة؟ ما الذي أخرج أبوينا من الجنة إلا شؤم المعصية؟ وما الذي ألحق بإبليس اللعنة إلا والطرد من رحمة الله إلا شؤم المعصية؟ وما الذي أغرق الأرض بالطوفان في في زمن نوح عليه السلام إلا المعصية؟ وما الذي أحل بقوم لوط سوء العذاب حتى جعل الله عاليها سافلها وأمطر عليهم حجارة من سجيل إلا شؤم العذاب؟ وما الذي فعل بآل فرعون حيث أغرقهم في الماء إلا شؤم المعاصي؟ وما الذي فعل بقوم سبأ؟ وما الذي فعل بقوم ثمود وقوم صالح؟ وما الذي فعل ببني إسرائيل حيث لعنهم الله إلى يوم الدين وسلط عليهم الظالمين ومسخ طائفة منهم قردة وخنازير إلا شؤم المعصية؟ لذلك قال الله تعالى: فبظلم من الذين هادوا حرمنا عليهم طيبات أحلت لهم وبصدهم عن سبيل الله كثيرا. وقال الله تعالى: وكلا أخذنا بذنبه. وقال الله تعالى: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. وقال الله تعالى: وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد. فإذا سنن الله عز وجل لا تتغير ولا تتحول، فما من أمة عصت ربها وتنكبت سبيل نبيها إلا سامها الله سوء العذاب، وما من أمة أعزها الله ورفع شأنها ومكنها في الأرض إلا بسبب إيمانها وطاعتها لله عز وجل. وهكذا نجد أن الله عز وجل وعد، ووعده حق لا يتحول ولا يتخلف. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض. إذن إيمان وعمل صالح يعقب استخلاف وتمكين في الأرض. ولنسكننكم الأرض من بعدهم، ذلك لمن خاف مقامي وخاف وعيد. إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين، ما قال المنافقين ولا قال الفاجرين ولا قال الملحدين، حاشا لله، نصر المؤمنين. إن تنصروا الله، ونصرنا لله أي نصرنا لدين الله، نصرنا لله أي امتثالنا أوامر الله واتباعنا هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. وهكذا كل وعد وعده الله عز وجل في كتابه فإنما هو للمؤمنين الصادقين، لا لأدعياء الإيمان ولا لأدعياء التقوى ولا لأدعياء الإسلام، إنما هو للمؤمنين الصادقين الذين آمنوا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم، أي خشعت وخافت، وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. ثم قال: أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. فنحن بحاجة الآن إلى الإيمان الحقيقي، بحاجة إلى الاتباع الصحيح، بحاجة إلى البعد عن المعاصي والذنوب التي هي سبب الذل والهوان. إنه لا يعز من عاديت ولا يذل من واليت. من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب، وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه. ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها. ولئن سألني لأعطينه، ولئن استعاذ بي لأعيذنه. إذن باختصار شديد أيها الإخوة، كل واحد مسلم الآن يعرف ما هي أدواء الأمة، يعرف المصائب التي وقعت فيها الأمة الإسلامية. كل ناظر الآن للمسلمين في الخارج يعرف أن هذا تارك صلاة، وأن هذا آكل لحم الخنزير، وأن هذا سكير، وأن هذا يتعاطى القمار، وأن هذا مبتدع، وأن هذا مشكك في الدين، وأن وأن. وهذه المصائب وهذه الأمراض سبب لواقع المسلمين، سبب لتخلف المسلمين، وهذه منتشرة في بلاد المسلمين، حيثما يممت وجهك شرقا غربا شمالا جنوبا تجد هذه المصائب عياذا بالله واقع فيها واقع فيها المسلمون. هناك مصائب خاصة، هناك أدواء خاصة في المتدينين. نحن كلامنا الآن سينصب في شقين، الشق الأول الذي نتكلم فيه الآن في مصائب المسلمين العاديين الذين انحرفوا عن الدين، الأدواء الأخرى في المسلمين المتدينين الذين تدينهم مخالف لعقيدة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وعقيدة السلف الصالح، ومنهجهم منحرف عن منهج الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ومنهج أصحابه. ثم بعد ذلك نتوجه في بيان العلاج، العلاج الصحيح، العلاج الناجع، العلاج المجدي النافع من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن هدي السلف الصالح. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشار في أحاديث كثيرة إلى أدواء الأمة في بعد زمانه صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قيام الساعة، ثم صلى الله عليه وسلم صرف الدواء وصرف العلاج لهذه الأمة ولأطباء اللي هم العلماء الذين هم بمنزلة الأطباء يداوون جراح هذه الأمة ويخرجونها من أمراضها التي تفتك بها فتكة.
جزاك الله خيرا ضيفنا الحمد لله محمد موسى ناصر حفظ الله. Started off by explaining clearly without doubt, and it's very clear and apparent to us without any suspicion or hiddenness, is that the Islamic Ummah is definitely caught up in a very severe time of trial. Its sickness, that is disease, is apparent in its calamities, in its trials, its mishaps. So the question is directly related not to is there a disease in the Ummah. This is obviously taken for granted. This is what's seen and experienced by all the Muslims in the Ummah wherever you may go. So this is not to be discussed at much length. We know there is a sickness and a disease and a fall of the Ummah. The question is, what is the cause? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave us the response in the Quran and the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said in translation the meanings, قُلْ say, it is only from your own selves. So whatever calamity befalls you, it is only because of what you have done. It's from your own selves. And this is nothing new. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ummah that we are with from now, from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's a sunnah of all the prophets and the ages from before, where people, when they disobeyed Allah and when they committed sin, that the punishment came down upon them. This is, again, nothing new. We are not in a new situation. It's very clearly seen in the sunnah of the other anbiya that we know. Among them, Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam was the typhoon, the tufan, the rain that came and deluged him and his people. And we have, for example, Lut alayhi salam. And his people were killed with the torrent of stones and fire that destroyed his land and his people. And Fir'aun also, and his people who turned against Musa alayhi salam, Allah sent down the punishment upon him and drowned him and his people in the sea. And the people of Sab'a, that is the people of Yemen, who were given gardens and given great lands and destroyed because of disobedience and their deeds. And the people of Thamud, the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, who was, again, their people and their community was destroyed through trial because of the disobedience and their sins. And of course the big story of Bani Israel, and all the multitudes of prophets that were sent to them, and the trials that were given to their prophets, and then in turn, the trials that Allah sent upon their people. and to continues to this day, where among all the peoples they are the ones who suffer most from the disease of the heart, disease of the body, and the disease of the society, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and narrations from the Prophet ﷺ would change him into pigs and monkeys because of the things that he have done, and sickness that prevailed in their time, including to this day. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran repeated many ayats related to the swiftness and the severity of his punishment for those who disobey. So this is not new. It's something that we're reoccurring now, and we have to be witness to this. And some of the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said, as he related in the translation, the meanings of these meanings into English, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a recompense. This is a return for all the sins that you have committed. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation, the meanings, severe and swift is the punishment for those for what you used to do. And another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the translation, the meanings, Allah's punishment is sent upon the people for the sins and disobedience they show to him. And verily, these trials are a test and a criterion for iman. There's no doubt Allah sends down the punishment for a reason. And among the reasons is that it is a test to one's belief, to the status of their faith in him. And knowing that these are the ones who will succeed, are the ones who are patient, and the ones who turn to Allah for help. For verily, if he sends down the punishment, he can lift it. If he sends down the disease, he is the one to send the cure. And help only comes from him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dua, supplication, and patience, and standing upon the truth and acting upon it is the only ways and means out of this. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayat of Quran, the translation, the meanings, verily Allah's help will keep you firm, your firm feet firm, related to in battle. So when the people started becoming fearful, when they didn't think Allah's Nasr, his help, wasn't near, it was near. And it was near only by asking for it, and standing firm was one of the fruits of waiting and patience to Allah's help. And another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in translation the meanings, those when the ayats of Allah are recited, that is the ayats of Allah from the Quran are recited, their hearts are shaken with trembling of belief, and that the iman is increased, and they are the ones who truly believe. So verily, these are ayats that we recite to you now. These are the ayats that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recited in before time, and the causes and the solution to these diseases and its cure has been related from Allah himself. And those are the ones who succeed, who listen to these ayats, who are shaken by them in belief, and their belief in turn raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the ones who will truly succeed. And verily, we know from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some of the hadith in terms of the du'a that he made. He said, verily, may Allah not let the enemies overcome us, nor that we become subdued by them. Do not let us become overcome by the enemies of Islam, and do not let us be subdued by them. And verily, Allah is the one who will lift this disease. Since He is the one we ask, He is the one who will lift it. And there is no doubt that these calamities are due, again, to the disobedience and the sinning of the people. We know very clearly, if we just look around in the Muslim land, alcohol, riba, zina are well prevalent in all these places among the Muslim and non-Muslim worlds. Therefore, there is no doubt Allah's punishment will come. There should be no mystery to this. And there are two types of shirk. Basically, it's based on the quality of iman. If Allah sends down His punishment, then we have to look at the people who are Muslims. And among the Muslims who are being punished are those who have two types of denying or compromising the oneness of Allah and their worship. And the first of all, though, we know the disbelievers who reject Allah and His guidance. And the other type are those who are mutadayyin. These are the people who are close to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to be on the truth, but they reject the authentic guidance of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They reject the way, or they deviate from that way. They innovate. And these are the ones who are liable to Allah's punishment. And of course, the answer is clear. If it is Allah who helps us, we ask Him, and we rectify that which we have been disobedient in, and the cure is clear as can be seen as the night and day for those who wish to be close to the deen of Islam, and that is returning to the authentic sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Salaf al-Salihin, because there is no other way, and there's only one way that Allah will help, and those are those who are close to Him, and these who are following the way of the self are the closest to Him, and it's to whom we He return.
ونحن حينما نتكلم عن الأدواء أدواء الأمة فلا نعني بذلك الأمراض البدنية والجسدية والنفسية التي يصاب بها الإنسان، فهذه لها مصحات ومستشفيات ولها أطباء، والإسلام لا يعارض أن يلتمس الإنسان الدواء لتلك الأدواء، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تداووا عباد الله فإن الله ما أنزل من داء إلا جعل له دواء. ولكننا نعني بذلك الأدواء المتعلقة بالعقيدة، المتعلقة بالأخلاق، المتعلقة بالسلوك، المتعلقة بالعلاقة بين الإنسان وربه، بين الإنسان وأخيه الإنسان، بين الإنسان وأهله، بين المسلمين بعضهم مع بعض. هذه الأدواء المتعلقة بفهم الإسلام وتطبيق الإسلام وممارسة الإسلام في الواقع وفي الحياة، هذه الأدواء هي التي نعني بها في حديثنا. وهذه الأدواء علاجها في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبينها أنبياء الله وعلى رأسهم نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حذر من أدواء كثيرة تبتلى بها الأمة الإسلامية على مر عصورها، قد حذر كما في أوحى الله إليه وحي القرآن، وكما أوحى الله إليه وحي السنة. القرآن حذر مما وقعت به الأمم السابقة من أمراض وأدواء، وكيف أن الله عز وجل عاقبها شر عقوبة، وكيف عامل الله عز وجل المخلصين والصادقين من أوليائه وأنبيائه، وكيف أنه مكن لهم في الأرض، وأنه نصرهم على أعدائهم، وأنه خلد ذكرهم في العالمين، وما فعل الله عز وجل بأعدائه المجرمين، وما فعل الله بالمنافقين وبالمشركين والملحدين حيث دمرهم ومزقهم شر ممزق وجعلهم عبرة وأحاديث للناس إلى يوم الدين. ما من نبي أرسله الله عز وجل إلا حذر أمته من كل شر يصيبهم، ودل أمته على كل خير ينفعهم، كما جاء في حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص بسند صحيح قال: ما بعث الله من نبي، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما بعث الله من نبي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على كل خير يعلمه لهم، وما بعث الله من نبي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يحذر أمته من كل شر يعلمه لهم. وقال أبو الدرداء أو أبو ذر الغفاري أحدهما لا أحفظ الآن، قال: ما ترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا إلا علمنا إياه، حتى الخراءة، يعني حتى قضاء الحاجة، حتى قضاء الحاجة علم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أصحابه. وتقول عائشة رضي الله: ما طار طير بسط جناحي إلا علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منه علما. المقصود كما قال الله عز وجل: ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء، ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. فنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ البلاغ المبين، أكمل الله به الدين، أتم الله به الرسالة، وأكمل الله به النعمة، وكشف الله به الغمة، حتى أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حجة الوداع وهو يخطب على جبل عرفات وبين يديه نحو 70,000 من الصحابة، قال لهم: هل بلغت؟ فكلهم قالوا: قد بلغت الرسالة، وأديت الأمانة، ونصحت الأمة، وجاهدت في الله حق الجهاد، فجزاك الله خيرا. فرفع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصبعه إلى السماء وقال: اللهم اشهد، اللهم اشهد، قالها ثلاثة. إذن وهناك نزل عليه وهو واقف على جبل عرفات قول الله عز وجل: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فأكمل الله عز وجل الدين في تلك اللحظة. المقصود أن الله أكمل الأحكام الشرعية وكل ما ينفع الأمة. وعاش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد هذه الآية 80 ليلة، ثم انتقل إلى الرفيق الأعلى صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن أقام الحجة على العالمين، وترك الأمة على بيضاء نقية، يعني سبيل بيضاء واضحة وسبل سوية، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: تركتكم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك ولا يتنكبها إلا ضال. لذلك نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام كما دل أمته على الخير حذر أمته من الشر، حذر أمته من كل شر يعرض لها، حذر أمته من الفتن، حذر أمته من الاختلاف،
حذر أمة من الدجال الذي يخرج في آخر الزمان، حذر أمة من دجاجلة آخرين كثر يعيثون في الأرض فسادا يفسدون الأمة، شياطين الإنس ويضلونها ويحرفونها عن منهج الله. سيكون بعدي 30 كذابة كل يدعي النبوة، ألا لا نبي بعدي. سيكون بعدي 30 كذابة كل يدعي النبوة، ألا لا نبي بعدي. قال في حديث حذيفة بن اليمان الطويل، قال سأله حذيفة وهل بعد هذا الخير من شر، قال نعم، أناس من أبناء جلدتنا يتكلمون بألسنتنا، دعاة على أبواب جهنم يتكلمون بألسنتنا، من أطاعهم قذفوه في النار عليكم السلام. قالوا منا يا رسول الله؟ قال إنهم من أبناء جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا، هؤلاء هم أخطر ما يكونون على الأمة، هؤلاء هم الذين أوقعوا الأمة في الضلال، هؤلاء أئمة الضلال أئمة الجور، هؤلاء الذين قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي كل منافق معلوم اللسان، إنما أخشى عليكم الأئمة المضلين، إنما أخشى عليكم الأئمة المضلين، هؤلاء الذين رؤوس الضلال الذين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيهم وفي أمثالهم إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا من صدور العلماء ولكن ينتزع العلم بقبض العلماء، فإذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. العلماء هؤلاء اللي هم في الحقيقة عامة جهلاء أشباه العامة يتصدرون المجالس، يسألون يفتون يضلون ويضلون ويضللون الأمة. هؤلاء شأنهم شأن الطبيب الذي يدعي الطب وليس هو بطبيب، فيعمل في المرضى جرحا وتقطيعا ووصفا للأدوية الفاسدة التي تفتك فيهم أشد الفتك. هذه فتنة أدعياء العلم الذين هم يدعون العلم وليسوا من أهل العلم. كذلك حذر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمته من فتن، من فتنة الدنيا والتكالب على الدنيا، وأن الدنيا كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام حلوة خضرة وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر ماذا تعملون، فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء. فتنة الدنيا وفتنة النساء وفتنة المال، وفتنة المال من فتنة الدنيا. أكثر الناس الذين أتوا إلى هذه البلاد فتنهم الدولار وفتنتهم المرأة، المرأة والدولار فتنة المسلمين المهاجرين أو المقيمين في هذه البلاد، ما فتنهم شيء آخر بمقدار ما فتنهم المال وبمقدار ما فتنتهم المرأة. ولذلك ينبغي يحذرنا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذه من بعض هذه الفتن. من الفتن التي يحذرنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا منها كذلك فتنة الجهل عياذا بالله، فإن الجهل عدو للإنسان. وهل ضلت النصارى إلا بالجهل؟ أنهم عبدوا الله، عبدوا الله بغير علم، فالنصارى أضلهم الله لأنهم عبدوا الله بالجهل. فحينما يستغني العامة عن العلماء ولا يذهبون إلى العلماء ولا يشدون الرحال إلى العلماء، فإنهم يتخبطون في الظلمات تخبط عشواء، لأن العلماء هم مصابيح الهدى ومنارات الدجى، هم الذين يهتدى بهم في الظلمات، هم الذين يأخذون بأيدي الأمة حينما تتخبط وحينما تحتار، هم